I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thank you for joining me for this week's edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. I'm your host. This is the business edition of our very successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And the reason that we talk about business from the perspective of the client experience is that I always like to do this with two things in mind. Number one, we always, always, always want to be talking about how we can massively enhance customer value. And number two, we also want to highlight the actual transformation that you, the client, can receive and experience. And so the people that I speak to are the absolute best at what they do in both of these areas. And today, my guest is Samara Beth Hurley. She goes by Samara Beth. She is an events and retreats expert. And so, you know, it's always Christmas Day for me when I can talk to another retreat or event specialist, being that you guys know, since you've been following me and you're listening to me, that this is a lot of what we do too. But what we're going to dive into today is something a little bit different. We're going to talk about the do's and don'ts, the things you need to know when you're doing a branded event. Okay, Samara has lots of experience in this area. We're going to be talking about best practices, kind of do's and don'ts, things that you want to avoid. So this probably is an episode that you're going to want to bookmark and come back to. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison. I greatly appreciate it.
Of course. So Samara Beth and I forgot to mention, we met in a retreat networking group. So I'm always interested in cultivating relationships with other people who are all about travel. So, but we can't really talk about travel without talking about logistics. So, but before we get into that, please tell my audience a little bit about you.
Hi, thank you for listening, everybody. I know that everyone has a busy world, so we appreciate your time. And my name, Allison said, is Samara Beth, originally from Baltimore, Maryland, and I married a naval officer, so have moved all over U.S. and also lived in Canada. And now I'm in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. I've been producing events of all kinds for the last 30 years. So I love being on all sides of the table because I get to feel what it's like to be on another side.
Yeah, and I love that. I think that's extremely helpful as a planner, but also as a coach too, because you understand, you know, where people are coming from, but then you can also put your expert hat on and say, in my experience, this is what's happened. So I know that's always really helpful. Let me just start with this. Why do you think right now, you know, doing small boutique events is such a game changer for someone in their business?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And in full honesty, I am seeing that the trend is less of the big conventions and conferences and more of a more intimate summit or workshop or retreats. And I think that the reason why people are going in that direction is because they want to have a little bit more attention. They want more intentional networking. They want to have more of that time. And it's hard to do that when you're among thousands of people. And also, people want to travel. That's the COVID. Once COVID was over, people were taking their offices anywhere. Remote work went from like a buzzword to an everything word. So there's lots of reasons why.
Yeah. And I love this topic and this concept so much because this is obviously something that we're super passionate about here at CU Fitness and my agency as well. And I just love the focus of people wanting something smaller and more intimate because sometimes more isn't always better.
That's right. Yeah. And it's more memorable too. So when you go to these engaging experience high type of retreats or events, you're going to remember them. And then community is a big part, Allison, because when they have a community like a WhatsApp group that they put everybody on, I have seen such positive engagement with that because it continues well beyond the event itself.
Yeah. And a colleague of mine has a saying, and she said it once. I follow her podcast as well. And She said it once on one of her episodes, and I've never forgotten it. It just consistently plays in the back of my mind when I'm working on a retreat or an event, and that is, you come for the connection, or excuse me, you come for the community, but you leave with more connections, right? And so, you know, you come because you want to be in the room with other people, but you leave with connections made, which hopefully, you know, you nurture and they just grow more and more down the road.
Absolutely. And if you're going to the larger events, the big conventions, it's really hard to do that.
Totally.
Because you forget everyone that you met.
Yeah, well, I can just tell you as a fitness pro for years, you know, and you could probably remember this too, is, you know, the standard for a long time was going to a national meeting, you know, whatever your certification is, whatever organization you follow or belong to, you know, you go to the national convention where you could meet all the higher ups and you could meet people that do what you do in other states and countries. And, you know, for me, it was always American College of Sports Medicine and some of those other ones. And so it's a lot of academia, it's a lot of medicine, it's a lot of like science stuff, which is great. But when you get home, it's like major, massive overwhelm of information. And I don't know that it necessarily moves the needle in your business. So I love the idea of small boutique events as being a needle mover in that regard.
Absolutely. And if you're doing a larger summit, like your 500 to 800 people, it's more intimate than conventions and conferences. However, breakout rooms are really powerful in breaking groups out. So that really does help create that intimacy. And usually, in my experience, those are the groups that become friends for life, the ones in the breakout rooms.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start there. Let's start with, I mean, we pretty much already talked about why these events are a good idea and a smart move, especially if you're a boutique business or you have a really specific niche market. But let's say there are people listening who are maybe thinking about this for this year. Where is the best place that you would tell them to start, even if they were just doing a little research? Maybe they're not ready to work with someone yet, but maybe they just want like a direction to be pointed in. What would you say to that?
Best question. I love that question. So I teach my clients to think big, but start small. But start small. So when you're starting small, that means it's not a massive investment. It's not too many people. There's not too many moving parts. And so the best way to do that, in my experience, is local. So even in those of us who live in apartment or housing complexes that have really nice common area rooms that you can rent out for the day, that have like the full kitchen, it has furniture, it has the TV, it has the bathrooms, has all that. Those are amazing places to do workshops, masterminds, and even retreats where you can maybe start one place and then go off site and go somewhere else and then do maybe. Yeah. And when you're doing those locations, if you need to go to Costco to get the muffins and get the carafes of coffee in the box for the morning, you can do that inexpensively and then have, you know, a private room for lunch, or you can have it catered, personal chef. So really, when I say local, I mean it. I'm talking YMCAs and community centers. I'm actually doing a team building for YMCA. I'm talking your community rooms that are in apartment and housing complexes. And if it's not in yours, ask around, because they're everywhere. All the cities I've lived in have these massive communities. They have gorgeous spaces with all the furniture.
Yeah. So, I love this so much, because this is such gold for people listening, because you're exactly right. People think automatically, I got to go book a hotel. You know, they've been to an event and they're like, that's what I want to do. But they're forgetting that, you know, most people that do events now started really small.
Mm-hmm. Basements. So, yeah. I mean, it's just like the stories. I was a Pampered Chef director for 8.5 years, and I actually spoke at their national convention. So it was funny because I was one of the top recruiters. So I did speak at those big conventions and attend the national and leadership conferences you were talking about earlier. But with the Pampered Chef and with all these other organizations that I was a part of, even the Cheesecake Factory, Knew the Family, they all started in the basement of their home and grew their business from there.
Yeah.
So if you have a home, even you could start it there, you know? And that's the thing is that, you know, there's a couple of things that I talk about that's on the top of my mind. So I'm going to bring it up right now before I forget. But this is a marketing tip, Allison, that I used with Pampered Chef and other organizations. Mix the crowd. Invite everyone and mix the crowd. Like, for example, I've had clients in the past, if it's more of a social gathering or they're trying to build their business, and they're like, oh, I'm going to invite my entire church group. And then there ends up being an activity that happens at church, and then they had to cancel their event because nobody could come.
Yeah.
There's always going to be competition with a day and a time. Always.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do is invite everyone, mix the crowd, and see who comes, because you never... I am so against prejudging people.
Yes.
You want to be positive and think, you know what? Just because someone is wearing, you know, a 3-carat ring or whatever, doesn't mean that she's not going to be interested in what you have to offer. Or just because someone was raised in a trailer park, doesn't mean that person doesn't have interest and the drive and the need to do what you have to offer. So do not prejudge people. Mix the crowd, change it up, and have fun with it.
Yes, I love that. That is such a great tip for everyone listening. It's, you know, I think we tend to think, you know, only invite people you know, ask them to bring a friend, all of that. But I love the whole idea. Just invite everybody and mix the crowd. Brilliant.
Absolutely. And bringing a friend is another good tip. And you see that a lot, but don't depend on it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, just like anything else, I think people need reminders. You know, what do they say? You have to say something to someone 7 or 8 times before they make a decision.
Yeah, absolutely. 7 to 8 touches. And touches are, I know we just went into
marketing. Probably on the low side, if I'm being perfectly honest, in today's world.
Some say it's 15. I mean, listen, here's your touches. You've got your texts and your email marketing and your newsletters and your direct emails. Then you also have Instagram, Facebook, those who are on TikTok, YouTube, if you're on Pinterest, like each one of them counts as one. And then you have your live events. So if you're at a live event, you can market it if they let you, if it's someone else's, if it's yours, you can do whatever you want. And then just keep going and then just keep publicizing it in different ways or making connections with that person. And it could be a matter of also going to their Facebook or Instagram and making a comment that's more than an emoji.
Totally.
Yeah. that's going to get their attention. But Allison, you and I met on a retreat, like you mentioned earlier, a retreat networking group, and be attending those networking LinkedIns or Zooms or whatever are so powerful. I have made so many good friends from them.
I know. And you just never know when you can really make connections. So, and that wasn't a huge group where you and I met either. So again, that just speaks to the power of having a small targeted event or group, because you just never know what conversation is going to lead to something else for you.
100%. And even here's a tip. So the founder of that organization, he gave us a list, a spreadsheet with the names and emails of those who participated. And so I first of all, their LinkedIn link was there.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. It was their LinkedIn link. So I went into LinkedIn and I followed every single one of them.
Yep.
And then I went in and I messaged every single one of them. Let's get to know each other better. It was great seeing you on this post, on the Zoom. And here's my link to book a call. I'd love to talk to you about blah, blah, blah. And guess what? Many of them did it.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And but it just brings up another point, too. And then we'll move on and I was actually talking about this in my Facebook group just this morning, because I do a weekly live in there on Tuesday nights every week about, you know, you need to be actively reaching out to people. So I love that you actually brought this up. I think people post, they send emails, they wait for people to reply. They have a conversation with someone and they say, here, reach out to me. And I think people kind of expect that people will do that. And I'm not saying that people don't do that. But in today's world, people are busy, they're distracted, they're overwhelmed with marketing messages every single day, hundreds of them. And so you have to be proactive in doing reach outs like what you just talked about.
100%. And in fact, if you're using like a HubSpot, ClickFunnels, or GoHighLevel, I have GoHighLevel, MailChimp, Constant Contact, any of those CRM systems, email marketing, most likely, depending on how many times you've been emailing these people, most likely they're going to their junk and spam file. Mm-hmm. So not everyone checks it as often as I do. I have like 6 or 8 emails. I don't even know. I'm checking email constantly. I have so many emails, but I go into my junk file like 3 times a day in each one of those.
Thing.
Most people don't do that.
I check spam and junk and trash because you just never know where emails go. And I think if anything else for people listening, you want to make sure that you carve out a few minutes every week just to check that, you know, if anything else.
And then follow up with those bounces. I actually just downloaded a report on Friday that I need to call all the people that bounce, because some of them are people I know. But what happens is nonprofits and corporations have very strong security on their email systems and they block a lot.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on. Next question.
Yeah.
So people are researching doing events. They're thinking about like what's going to work. Walk us through what you think the first few things they need to be thinking about are.
Well, I like to start with vision. What is it you envision? What is it you want to do? But also think about the audience more than yourself. And that's, I think, something that a lot of retreat and event planners may not do, is they're thinking about what they want, but not what the audience wants. And just understand that as you build it up, and you know this, Allison, because you've done a gazillion retreats, but as you build up your business, you can start doing what you want.
And then
everybody will follow because you're cool and fun.
And I'm glad you brought this up, because I still think that you need to be listening to what people are saying. So for example, I've had people ask me, well, what about doing a retreat here? Have you thought about here? This would be such a great location. You know, you need to be thinking about that as well. But to your point, once you establish yourself, you know, people will follow you where you go. But I think it only benefits both of you if you like think about where, you know, your audience might want to go in the future. Like, where is their dream destination?
Exactly. And just know that when you're picking dates, you're not going to please everybody.
Totally.
The other thing is, before you go into the actual planning process, you want to pick essentially a month or a date and a city or a state. So you can pre-sell it and just have an idea of what kind of retreat it's going to be or events. So obviously, you know, if I'm teaching people how to produce events and retreats, then that is going to be my topic. If Allison is doing wellness and fitness, then that's her topic.
Yep. And I also am a big fan of using wait lists too. Get on the wait list, make sure you're the first to get the information.
Exactly. So wait list, pre-sell, do not put money down at a venue or anything else. Do not do anything else until you pre-sell it, because that way you will be out time, and time is money. Yep. However, that's better than losing, you know, thousands of dollars.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Much better to find that out, even if you've invested several hours of your time, than the money that you're not going to get back. So
exactly.
Very good point. So now, I'm sorry, go ahead. I don't want to.
No, I was going to say your listeners might be thinking, okay, that's great. What do I do next?
Yep.
So the next thing they're going to do is go into something that's either free or paid for in a pro, is Canva. And I'm sure they hear this all the time. But you go into something like Canva and you just create the assets for your social media posts, and you post it on all social media that your audience will be in. And like I said, so if Allison and I have both been to a lot of conferences and conventions, we'll tell you that they sell the next one before you go home from the current one.
Yep.
Right. So they'll do like, they'll wait to the very last day, right? And they'll put it up on the screen. And I was like, okay, next year we're going to be in Dominican Republic. And it's, you know, it's always in January or whatever.
Yep.
So you're doing that
everywhere else. Yeah.
Exactly. So like you're doing a similar thing, except you're not, may not be at that current event yet, but you're pre-selling it to see who wants to be on the wait list, who wants to save the date. And that's kind of where you go from there to make sure that you're doing the right thing. And just remember, you're not going to please everybody.
Yeah. I love that. That's something I don't think we can repeat enough. So let's switch gears a little bit. What are some of the big mistakes you think people make in planning boutique events, and how can you avoid them?
So just talking at people. People don't come to retreats and workshops and masterminds to be spoken at. They go to the big events for that. So having a multi-sensory experience where it's having that lasting impact, and it needs to align with your brand messaging as well, really does help hit home. And it also keeps your brand in their mind when they leave.
Yeah, love that. What else?
The other thing that people do is they don't consider accessibility and any crisis management necessary when things go wrong. So people might not think about the weather or politics and how that can impact you, or unexpected challenges, or maybe people are, you know, an airline decides that it's just not going to, you know, we've had a lot of airline situations recently So they might not consider, what if the speaker, the main attraction can't make it? So what are you going to do? What's your backup plan? You need a plan A, B, and C.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I have at least something in my back pocket. But to your point, one of my biggest perspectives, and I talk about this a lot in my messaging, and really anyone that knows me listening and has worked with me can attest to this. My philosophy is always less is more. Because you, like you said, you never know when something's going to happen and you need time to switch something around, or you have to move an activity, or your keynote speaker has had a crisis and can't come. I mean, you just never know.
That's true. And one of my pet peeves, you're going to love this one probably, is when it's one after the other, back to back to back to back to back. And you have no time to go to the restroom. You have no time to get water after you went to the restroom.
Yeah.
You have no time to really eat, no time to network, no time for downtime. I love where they're like, okay, we're going to change our clothes. We have to go back to our room, change our clothes, come back here, meet back in 30 minutes, but you have to take a golf cart from the front area all the way to the back to your casita room.
I know. It's ridiculous. It feels more like a conference than a retreat or a boutique event, you know?
You know what it feels like? It feels like parents who overschedule their kids.
Yeah. And then how does that help people? They get home and they're tired. They're like, exhausted. What did I just get out of spending 3 or 4 days at this event? You know, what did I walk away with? They don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And really having like those icebreakers is important too, because you know, you and I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but you can attest to this. But I believe that you're an extrovert like me. Is that true?
Yeah, that is very true.
So we're extroverts. So we can walk in a room and probably work that room, talk to anybody, make friends with people, exchange info, and be besties for the resties, as my teenage daughter says.
Love that.
But there's a lot of people out there, especially COVID kids. I have a 21-year-old. These are introverted kids who had a lot of their main schooling was during COVID. Some of them never had prom, never had homecoming, never had all these things. So we have to remember the younger generations and what they went through in their upbringing. And even someone who's older, like I work a lot with nonprofits for domestic abuse, violence, and trafficking. So people who have been through massive trauma, they might be a little bit more introverted than they were before.
Yeah.
And so consider these, consider those individuals and really maybe assign someone who's real soft and engaging and empathetic to them.
Yes.
And that in knowing who they are, that could be a matter of a jot form before they arrive, you know?
Yeah. Very good point. And these are all things that you have to think about, because anytime you're doing something where you're inviting people, A, to leave home, which is a big deal for a lot of people.
Sure.
B, take off time from work and arrange their home life so they can come and be there. You know, you want to make sure that you're giving them an experience and they don't just leave thinking they wasted their time. That's the worst thing ever.
100%. I love that. And I've had mothers who are new mothers and they're kind of nursing, but they pumped and they left their baby with the, you know, dad or the mother, whatever. Like it's hard for them. They're going to be emotional.
Yeah.
So, you know, be empathetic toward that and be there. Be a hug, you know?
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And you just, I think what's really helpful to remember, because I'm sure a lot of people are listening that maybe are thinking about doing a boutique event, but maybe haven't done one yet, but they really want to, is to really get a clear picture in your mind of the experience that you want people to have. And you mentioned this earlier when you were talking about vision. But I just think it just cannot be overestimated or underestimated, really. I think you have to really think about, and one of the things that I teach is be so crystal clear on the outcome that you want people to get. You want it to be clear enough, imagining like you're shopping and you're leaving somewhere and there's something in a bag. What is in the bag? What are you leaving with? You want to be clear when you talk to people about this is what you can expect to walk away with. I mean, the more clear you are, the easier all of these things that you and I are talking about are going to be. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com, and use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Swag is very important because you want it to be something that they're utilizing, something they're seeing all the time. And I'm like looking around my home office right now and seeing the things that end up, you know, on the shelves and in on my desk and all that. These are things that are powerful and you want to be very conscientious. You know, when people order swag and it's just to get the cheapest thing like a keychain or a pen, are they really going to use it or is that just going to get left somewhere? So just keep those things in mind when you're not only bringing something in their mind back with that experience using all five senses, which is something that I also teach, but also some the things that are in front of them. All the time, every day.
Yeah. So, you know, put yourself in their position. What would they want to walk away with is really what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because it's no different from when I was recruiting for a multi-level marketing company I worked for. When I recruited people and grew my team, I first asked them when we would have our onboarding is, what's your heart tug? What is it you love? What is it you want? What drives you? I just want a gift card to Starbucks. I just want to get a massage. I just want someone to babysit my kids. You know, like these things, you find out what I want an award. I love ribbons. I love awards. I want to have awards, but whatever it may be, that is what drives them and everybody's different. So having, again, questionnaires is really helpful. Surveys, jot forms. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And having people like when they register, fill out a form.
Yeah.
You know, I do that for a lot of my retreats. It's like they'll get a Google link and then that way I understand more about what they want. You know, to your point, what is it that they really want to walk away with in addition to any other things too?
Exactly. Oh my gosh, I love this conversation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just, but these are things, you know, and I'd just love to get your thoughts on this too. I think we think sometimes, because you and I are seasoned experts in this area, we've been doing this a long time. I think we sort of tend to think, and I know I used to catch myself doing this a lot too, well, they already know that. Well, they already know that. That's like common sense, but it's really not. You really cannot say these things enough.
No, you can't. And it's so funny. It's true. I say that. And sometimes I actually have to use ChatGPT to bring it down a couple notches. And I did that. I did that once. I was like, okay, so here is 24 hours of knowledge out of my mouth and brain. Yep. Now take that knowledge and bring it down to maybe, you know, for beginners, intermediate, advanced, whatever. Because we do forget because we've been doing events for so long, like the things that are common sense are not common sense for everybody.
Well, and it's just a reminder that there is no shame. And like completely focusing on just the basic things, which you and I have talked about, you know, it's if you were intentional in thinking about all these things, understand that when everybody started at one, you know, at point zero, you know, the very first retreat and event that I ever did, I started at point zero. And they're just things that you don't know.
Absolutely. And there are things that I want to make sure that they do know. So we could certainly get into a couple of those and then they can learn more from my freebie for them if that works for you.
Yeah. Give us your best, like, you know, your top three tips or whatever. Like, just give us a few little nuggets to walk away with.
I'm going to give you a few. Okay. And you can stop me if we have to run out of time. So one is brand storytelling. So we talk about experience. It's a branded experience. You take your brand, you understand your vision and your mission, and then you turn it into a valuable product. Mm-hmm. So your valuable product might be your a course, your coaching group and community. It might be your private training, whatever it is. So you come up with that, what that is, but have a mission, what are your values, and bring those values into your business, because to be honest, you're going to attract people with similar values because they want to be with you wherever you are, right?
And I agree with you more. Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
good. And then messaging. So I have a learning disability. I've had it my whole life. It's been a struggle my whole life. I don't learn as well as others, especially in like a linear manner. So I'm very visual and I need to see someone's name written like a gazillion times. So when there's no name tags, I'm like losing it. And just make sure that there's engagement strategy. So the best way to remember individuals, people, and the brand is to have it in front of you. We just talked about, you know, seven touches for people to even pay attention to you. Now let's talk about all the touches in that experience for them to want to engage the whole time and to engage and be memorable later, right?
Yep.
So, and there's many ways that you can do that using all five senses throughout this, and just keep going. Just keep it going the whole time. And for me, an event starts when they first register. So we just talked about the survey form. So also collect their mailing address. And do remember, people have different PO boxes, mailing addresses. Some people live out of hotels. So just keep that in mind now. But get their mailing address to send them a free gift and have that experience actually starting after they register where they have something being delivered to
their
door.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that. And it could be even like paddles with photos on them so that when you're doing your virtual get together with the people going on the trip, because you can also do pre-launch events before you actually get in person.
Totally.
And it could already know each other.
As simple as a card with a picture of something on it that's symbolic of the event. You know, it doesn't have to be a gift that costs a lot. It can be something very small and simple.
It could be a little box or anything like that. You're right.
And
think about it. So Allison and I met on a Zoom and then we Zoomed before the interview and now we're doing the interview and then we'll do something in person. And I know I'm going to be on a committee meeting with her tomorrow because I just got sent that calendar invite. But the thing is that when I see Allison on Zoom and then I see her in person, we're going to like attack each other. We're going to be so excited to see each other.
Yeah, right.
And that helps the icebreaker because you don't have to do a lot because they already know each other.
Well, it helps build the relationship and helps get people excited too. And
totally.
It sort of builds the energy so that people, it's sort of like they anticipate, you know, it's kind of like being excited before the fact, which is always what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Hands down. And then also having immersive experiences and activations. When I say activations, I mean, we call them an event planning activation station. So I'm going to give you an example. Some food examples, because I love food.
Yeah.
Food examples are a hot donut machine making donuts in front of you and everybody can put their own toppings and dippings and things on it. Okay, that's a slider station where you've got vegan, vegetarian, chicken, you know, beef, and then people, it's like a bar, right? French fry bar, that kind of stuff. Those are examples of activation stations with food. You can do activation stations with dream board creation, with team building ideas, using Legos or other materials, crafts, whatever. So those are different types of activations. And then also networking opportunities for these attendees so they can feel connected. But you can break them up and put them in like little mini workshops where they can fill out, you know, a fun document and it's using the brand and they're coming up with creative ideas, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I like to use a lot of really thought-provoking questions. You know, I sort of have a deck of index cards that it's kind of like my retreat questions.
And sometimes for an icebreaker activity, or if we're in between sessions, or like if we're having lunch or dinner and it's just kind of something light, you know, I'll have everybody pick a card and there'll be a question on the card. And then they not only have to answer the card, but it's usually applies to, you know, something that we've done or something that we've talked about or whatever. And I just find that to be really impactful because other people benefit from hearing what you have to say too.
Exactly. And depending on your questions, you could have your entire event planned by the end of the day.
Yeah. I just find it's just a really fun way to add something to, you know, an icebreaker session, to a kickoff activity, to, you know, a lunch or a dinner or a drink before dinner or something. It just kind of sets the stage and it just kind of puts people at ease at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the next thing I'll mention is sponsorships and partnerships. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have, so if you have sponsors and partners who basically you've created a package for them and they're able to set up booths or they're sponsoring a drink or food station or whatever it may be, or an activity, then you would definitely want to appreciate them as much as possible verbally through social media, through websites, which should be a landing page only, as well as with it throughout. I mean, just sprinkle it constantly because the more you do that, the more other people are going to be like, I'm totally sponsoring the next one.
Yeah, totally. I hear you.
Because they're going to see that, right?
If it's something that aligns with your brand, it's an absolute no-brainer.
Right. So let's say it's like a health drink. I just like started using Market America stuff. So let's say it's like a healthy thing and it's a drink powder, but you can mix it with anything. And so you might do mocktails with it or cocktails, depending on the kind of event you're planning.
Yeah, right.
And then they have like a really cute setup where it's like a cool beverage setup, you know, very trendy, and it has their banner and their sign in front, and it has the menu and it has some options and you can make it spicy or not or whatever, mocktail, cocktail. So really kind of making it cute and memorable, because the other thing is, Allison, what happens with our smartphones? They become what?
Yeah.
They become marketing for your future events.
Totally. Totally. Well, there are many computers, let's be honest. They're not just phones, you know?
Exactly. So what you want to do at any event that you ever create of any kind is have branding everywhere and have these setups. Even when you go to restaurants and bars, they have them where they have their logo and like a green wall. That's a backdrop for marketing them. You're doing them a favor. Have a hashtag, have the tagline, make sure that the profile line is on there. Make sure everything is there because people are going to be taking photos and videos and making reels and posts. And they are literally marketing for you.
Yeah, I love that. And that is just, again, such an easy thing to do. But yet it's something that I guarantee you a lot of people don't think about. But it's just, it's all these little things that make such a big difference. And I would argue that they're more important than the really big rocks. Not that the big rocks aren't important, but I just think that we obsess too much over that. And we forget these little things that are very low cost or free that really make a big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's so many different strategies for marketing. We really did touch upon them earlier on. But you could also do some event teasers throughout. Yeah. But one of the best marketing promotional strategies that you can do is to do a walk. First of all, rule number one, never, ever, ever do an event or retreat in a venue you've never stepped foot in and walk through yourself.
Yep. Agreed.
Period.
Yep.
Period, period, period.
Yep.
So it's so important. I can't even tell you. And photos and videos and websites and things you see online, I'm sorry, that they're having those professionally done. You can touch anything up. And they most likely were taken when the venue opened. And so they're not showing, you know, the lounge furniture outside that it's covered in bird poo and moss and mold. They're not showing, you know, the broken whirlpool or the...
And also read reviews and talk to other people too, which I think is really important. You know, some of the smaller retreats that we do, we use Airbnbs and I can't always check those out beforehand, but I read enough reviews and talk to enough people that I can make a fairly, you know, educated guess and feel 90% confident that it's going to work, right?
That's great. I'm curious though, have you ever had any issues come up in the Airbnb rentals?
No, not really. Nothing that can't be remedied when I get there. I've been very fortunate. I know I hear from a lot of people who've had problems, And I think really your point is very well taken. You know, there was one instance where we didn't have hot water and that really wasn't the landlord's fault, but he called somebody and he got it fixed like right away. One of the things that I always try to do is get there before my guests and make sure that there are no problems. And, you know, you just, all you can do at the end of the day is hope that everything is going to work and you can do everything you can to put everything in place. And there's still going to be things that come up that you don't count on. And you just have to, you know, trust and believe that you can figure it out. Because event management is really a lot of just, you know, managing, you know, your own emotions and just keeping it together as a leader.
Absolutely. And I do recommend going a day earlier because, first of all, you don't know what's going to happen to your transportation.
Totally.
But but also it's worth it. It's worth the financial, you know, taking in that extra night financially, because you can have everything set up and not being super stressed out. And you have time to run to the store if you have to and just get the things you need to get. Because once you get in there, you're going to be like, oh, man, I wish I had blank. And then you're like, Amazon, I've got time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell us.
I recommend that. Yeah. So that's a good thing to do. And also, please don't put your guests to work. I've seen this so many times when someone, like when the retreat planner has, they invite people and then they're like, oh, can you do this? Can you do this? Oh, we have to wash this. Do you mind checking on the dryer? Like, they spent a lot of money to be there. They left their families. They left their job, whatever, to be there. It just respect it as pretend they're on vacation and pamper the crap out of them.
Totally. Well said.
Yeah.
So I know you mentioned that you have a free gift for people listening. What is that?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to give them the digital download. Right now, I don't have the paper version. So you guys are going to get the pre-launch here of How to Plan Intimate Coaching Retreats. It's a book. And it has lots of great tips and ideas in it.
Oh, I love it. And they can get, people can get that on your website, right?
Actually, I'm going to send you the link so that it's only available to your guests for free.
Okay.
And I also have a, like a recording webinar. I can send you that link too. And it's the brand experience webinar. And it teaches them a little bit about my win pillars. So that would be helpful for them.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what, that honestly, the wind pillars are for anything. They're not just for events, so it would be really helpful.
Awesome, awesome. So both of those links for people listening, you can find those in the show notes, or you could just reach out to us and we'll make sure that we send them to you if you don't see them there. So how can people best connect with you?
I love that. Thank you. So my website is samarabeth.com. So we'll put that in the notes as well. And you can go to samarabeth.com. And when you, if you're curious about the events and stuff that I do, like the bigger scale, then you can go to events on the menu. Otherwise, my coaching and speaking, that business, and a lot of my books, those are all located on samarabeth.com.
Fantastic.
And then you can also find me on Instagram at samarabethandco, and end is written out. And then on Facebook, Samara Beth Schwartz Hurley is my personal. We'll give you these links. And then there's Samara Beth and Company is my my Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn as Samara Hurley. So we'll send you that too.
Yeah, okay? all the social media links for people listening, you can just click on them in the show notes. And that way you can get all synced up. Thanks so much for making time to talk with me today. Such a great conversation and so much value. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This was amazing. I love it.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. So folks out there listening, you know, a lot of you reach out to me often about retreats, events, where do I start? What should I be thinking about? And I get it. It's a lot. It's a lot to think about. And it's why a lot of people think about it, but they never move any further than that. And I just cannot stress enough having experts in your corner, people that you can at least ask questions to. And, you know, you guys know that my DMs are always open. You can always reach out to me. You can connect with me on my website, www.theallisonk.com, and just hit the connect button. And if you would like to connect with Samara Beth, you can find her on her website as well, which all of her links are in the show notes. So you can take advantage of her two amazing free gifts and also hook up with her on all of her social media channels, because she's spent years and years doing branding events. So if you have specific questions about what that could look like for you and your business, then please don't hesitate to reach out. She's a wealth of information. I'm sure she would be happy to help you. And on that note, If what we talked about today was helpful for you and you know someone that you think needs to hear this chat, please copy the link to this episode. We are on every major podcast platform out there and send it to them as a free gift from me. You know, if you're listening to podcasts on a mobile device, like so many of us do, it's very easy just to copy the link and send it in a text message or in an email. So know that you can do that. Or if you like, just reach out to me and we'll do it for you if you'll just tell us where you want it to go. Thanks for all of your support, for always listening, for always following, for always writing reviews and just giving us your feedback. You know, I always tell everybody in August, it'll be 6 years that we've been on the air. And I always tell everybody that I just have the most amazing audience. And just know whether you're listening to me today for the very first time or whether you've been following me for a while, that we do consider you part of our family and we're grateful for you. That's what I got for you this week on the podcast, folks. We'll see you next time. Bye.